Welcome to Free and Local, a series of five programmes where Near FM, together with a group of people from the National Council for the Blind of Ireland, visit some of the fantastic cultural places of interest we have here on Dublin's north side. We're hoping that the input from the National Council for the Blind will allow people to understand the experience of being visually impaired and help see past people's limitations. The official guides at each of the venues will help to make the visits as visual as possible, bringing them to life with vivid descriptions that you, our listeners, can also enjoy. Every one of the world-class places of interest we will visit are within easy reach, open to the public, and even better, free of charge. Come along with us and experience them anew, using all your senses, as we explore some of the best that North Dublin has to offer. In this, our third programme of Free and Local, it's time to take a trip to the heart of the Phoenix Park and visit Áras an Uachtaráin. As always, our NCBI colleagues will help to bring the venue to life and allow you, our listeners, to see and feel every part of the tour.
You're all very welcome to Áras an Uachtaráin. My name is Bernie. I'm going to be your guide in the house. The people of Ireland owns this house, so we all have a little share in it, but it doesn't give us sleepover rights yet.
I was just going to say, no B&B.
No sleepover rights. Phoenix Park, this whole area was opened in 1662 as a royal hunting park for the King of England, Charles II. And with the king's animals here and game, they had to be minded. So the position of a park ranger was created, and with that job, you got a house, little park. And one of the men to get that job was a man called Nathaniel Clemens. And when he came to the original house here, he knocked it down and he built the very core of this building here. So in front of us we have a very large white building, Palladian and Georgian in style. And on the front we have a Doric portico. This was put on by a man called Francis Johnston, who is responsible for our GPO in Dublin as well. So a lot of the extensions onto this house were added on for royal visits. And one such part of the building was added on in 1849 for the royal visit of Queen Victoria. Just to let you know, before we go inside, the type of people who would have went in through this house before us. There has been kings and queens, humanitarians, peacekeepers. There's been artists, writers, sporting legends, and lots of local heroes that make us all very proud to be Irish. So on that note, we'll head inside. I'll hand you over to Elaine, who's going to describe the room.
So there's lots of pictures of Michael D looking very, very well.
Oh, is he?
Martin Schulz, President of the European Parliament.
Yeah.
And there's also Mr. Alan Salmond, First Minister of Scotland. We're in a nicely paved garage, and there's a display cabinet behind us here with pieces and car fixie uppy bits, and we have a beautiful, absolutely stunning vintage Rolls Royce.
Not at the minute, but there are plans to put it back on the road.
It's absolutely gorgeous.
De Maler have been in it.
He would, and the car was bought in 1949 during Shanty O'Kelly's presidency here. But most people, when they come in, more mature members of Irish society, they usually call it Dev's car. Eamon De Valera being our third president, and they would have memories of seeing Eamon De Valera being chauffeur driven up and down the North Circular Road. And the box that you described just behind me in the glass case, that's actually the original toolbox that came with the car. And the car is a crankshaft, so it's windy up, but there's no engine in it at the minute, so nobody can go off with it today. It's staying where it is. And inside is blue. And can anybody tell me why it would be blue instead of green for Ireland?
St. Patrick's blue.
Exactly, well done. So on that note, we're going to head up through the house.
Thank you. Lovely picture of Mary Robinson up on the wall. And there's gorgeous, almost floor-to-ceiling windows.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, and you're looking out on the gardens.
On the gardens.
Yeah, very nice. And there's a picture of Mary McAleese as well, so there's a lot of president, ex-president.
Paintings rather than photographs.
Yeah.
This is the room that was added on in 1849 for the royal visit of Queen Victoria. So on the ceiling we have a ceiling rose that's heavily gilded. It's off-centre. The reason being, this room used to be much longer, And in the 1950s, when they were creating the new corridor and the stairs, they actually had to make the room shorter. But they couldn't do anything with the rose or the chandelier because it's in line with the chandeliers in the next room. Now, there's a fantastic chandelier. It's Birmingham crystal. And when it was first hung, it was lit by candles. And now it's lit by electricity. And this house first got electricity in the year 1908. This is also where we hang the portraits of all our past presidents. And the male paintings are quite dark, quite formal. And then when you come to the ladies, Mary McAleese and Mary Robinson, they're brighter, they're airier, they're really different to the older type of paintings. And I feel this does give you a reflection of the type of presidency they brought to the country, a very change and light and airy feel. Now, the fireplaces in this room are not original, and if anybody'd like to have a little touch of the fireplaces.
What material are the fireplaces made?
They're white marble.
Would that be local?
I'd say they were imported. But you're more than welcome to have a little feel.
It is a person, it's a woman's face. It'd be the style of kind of Anna Livia.
That's gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's lovely marble. And it's lovely brass surrounding the fireplace. Yeah. And then the fire set.
Cleaned.
Beautiful brass as well.
Cleaned, well cleaned.
Oh, it's spotless. Fruit and leaves and flowered carving on it.
The originals were put in for Queen Victoria, so they must have been spectacular. In 1751, when Tanya Clemens built the original part of this house, and in 1782, his son sold it to the British government to use for the Viceroy, who was the King's representative in Ireland. And at the time, the Viceroys were living in Dublin Castle. The prison was also in there, and it was quite noisy, quite smelly, so they needed a more pastoral setting for the Viceroy, and this was the ideal location, countryside and near the city. So when the Viceroys were about to leave the house, they nearly felt it was their duty to take a piece of the house they liked. So one of the last Viceroys took the original fireplaces, and he put in quite simple, plain fireplaces. And in the 1920s, when the Governor Generals were here, there was a particular man called Tim Healy, and he wasn't impressed with the fireplaces at all. It was reported that he simply couldn't look at anything so ugly. So he took them out and he purchased these ones himself. And when he was about to leave, his plan was to take them with him. And he was advised to leave them where they are. So instead, there's a lovely little plaque there, a nice brass plaque on the fireplace, thanking him for his gift to the Viceregal Lodge. So on that note, we'll head into the next room.
We're in a long corridor, and all on the left-hand side, there's busts of ex-presidents. Very, very nice again. The two Marys up there side by side, looking very nice. Although Mary McAleese is looking very serious in hers. And then on the right, there's sort of Roman, Greek, Grecian sort of frescoes on the wall. It's very nice carpet as well. Celtic design pictures on it. Probably going to be corrected on that one. And yeah, gives you a sense of occasion. If you're coming to dinner, you're coming down this hallway, and it's a sort of an entry into the dining room maybe area.
This is the La Francini or the State Corridor. Any important guests that come to the house, they would come up this corridor and they would greet our president in the next room, the State Reception Room. It's called the La Francini because of the stucco work behind you. Well done. The man that created this corridor in the 1950s was Raymond McGrath. He was the chief architect of the Office of Public Works. And in the 1950s in Ireland, a lot of the houses that were contemporary with this one were being demolished. So Raymond McGrath got the opportunity to go down to one such house in County Cork, a Riverstown house, and take the original pieces from there. So when he went down, the pieces were so embedded in the brickwork, he actually had to leave them where they were. And he took plaster casts of the originals, and that's what you see before you here. But there's a good end to the story, because the Georgian Society went in and they stopped the demolition. So the house is still standing today, and I believe you can go and do a tour down there too. He also added in these skylights, and the hall is actually flooded with light. It's very light and airy, and it's lit by Waterford crystal chandeliers. And then on this side, we have bronze busts of all the past presidents. And is there anybody that'd like to give a guess and name them all from start to finish? Anybody?
Douglas Hyde.
Douglas Hyde. Sean T. O'Kelly, Lyra, Erskine Childers,
O'Dolly, Hillary,
Mary Robinson, Mary McAleese.
Wow, well done, well done. And you know, I always try to get the group to do that because it saves me remembering. So thanks for that. So if you'd like to have a little feel of the faces, if you want to feel the difference. And there are two total different styles on the ladies. So if you'd like to have a little feel of that.
So that's the bronze, that's Mary Robinson. The little earring, and she's a little disc necklace and earring set. You can actually feel the necklace and the earring as well. Yeah, that's a very good likeness.
And this is
that's Mary McAleese. But her eyes are, I don't know, they're strange because they're hollow eyes.
No, that's odd.
Isn't it? I'm not sure that I like that version.
And this is the state reception room, and it's set out for dinner tonight. And the state china is on it. And that was designed by Inora Taki, a Japanese designer. They're white, and they have the presidential blue and the harp on them, and a gold rim as well, so they're really exquisite.
Another name?
No.
Oh, I was just hoping ours might be there.
Not yet.
And are there flowers on the table, please?
Beautiful flowers, assorted colours of reds, orange, pinks, whites. And they're in small square glass dishes. And also we have Waterford crystal glasses, and the light shining on them is really, really beautiful.
Are they heavy crystal or the light? Because the original Waterford glass was a very light glass, but now the more modern, I think.
No, these are light and heavily carved. They're really beautiful. And then the silver is actually from Newbridge. It's lit by two French 18th century chandeliers. And the carpet in there is the same as the carpet in the hall. It's Irish wool. And if you want to have a feel, you're more than welcome. It's really lovely and soft. And the unusual thing about the carpet in the state reception room is it was made by the descendants who made the original. The original one was blue, and the new one now is green. So on that note, we're going to head into the hallway. Do you feel a difference in this room?
Is it smaller?
Yes.
Yeah. It's stiller or something. I don't know, everything seems nearer.
Okay.
Or is it hotter or something?
I'm just so interested to get your opinion because this is one of the original rooms in the house. So they were much cozier and things like that. So, yeah, well done. Okay. So here we are now in the Council of State room, and it gets its name from this very large painting from the 1940s, and it was painted by a man called Simon Coleman from the Royal Hibernian Academy, and it's in a heavily gilded frame, and it's very dark, and the subject is the Council of State. So we have a series of men sitting around a table. At the top of the table we have Douglas Hyde, who again was the first president, and to his right hand side we have Eamon de Valera and Sean T. O'Kelly. Usually on the tour, I would ask the people, if that was being painted today, would there be any changes? And usually to say, well, there'd be women and there'd be iPads and iPhones and tablets and God knows what. And a few weeks ago, from the back of the room, a little child shouted up and said, and there'd be no ashtrays on the table. And sure, I've been doing the tours nearly 2 years and I never noticed that myself. So on my left-hand side, so to your right, there is a lovely painting there. And it's a still life of flowers. And it was painted by a Dutch artist called Jan van Huysum, 18th century painting. And it's reported that it's original to the house. And it's heavily gilded as well. And this was the original dining room to the house. So any visitors that came to the house, they would have come in here, dinner by candlelight, and their perfect conversation piece would have been the ceiling. So above our heads here, we have a ceiling by Bartholomew Crumillion, and it depicts Aesop's Fables. Has anybody ever heard of Aesop's Fables? Well, I'll share one with you. We have above your head, we have a scene of a crow in a tree and a fox underneath her looking up. And the crow has a piece of cheese in her mouth. And the fox wants the cheese. So he says to the crow, I heard you have a lovely voice. Can I hear you sing? And the crow said, mm-mm. He said, but everybody said you have a lovely voice. Can I hear you sing? Mm-mm. But all the birds in the forest said, your feathers are so silky and your voice is so sweet. So the poor old crow opened her beak to sing. The cheese fell and the fox ran away with the cheese. So the moral of the story is, don't let your heads be turned by flattery.
Yeah.
So you can just imagine then Queen Victoria coming to this house for dinner. This room would have been much too small, and that's why they had to add on the lovely big extension. Can you imagine her in her big dresses and all her entourage? This just wouldn't do.
She always demanded space, didn't she? Exactly. Where she went. Yeah.
Yes. And then on my right-hand side, so your left-hand side, we have these two fantastic paintings here. And one of them is of a man called Thomas Drummond. He's a very young man in this painting. He's possibly around his mid-30s. And he was the undersecretary to the viceroy who would have lived in this house. And where you've got your tickets up in Ashtown is where he would have lived, in Ashtown Lodge. And it's very sad that in history in Ireland, there's so many people who've gone before us and have done wonders for us, and we totally forget about them. It's very sad. And this particular man, he was responsible for bringing the railway to Ireland. He was a Scottish man, came to work and live here, and loved Ireland. His peers here, his friends, they all were estate owners. And they had tenants on their land, but they didn't really look after them. And he was appalled by this. And he wrote in the journals at the time, they were like the newspapers, and he said, with land comes reward plus responsibility. So he nearly shamed his peers into looking after their tenants. And after that time, you could see the landowners building little cottages for their tenants, cobbling little laneways and things like that. But he also invented the Drummond light. Has anybody ever heard of the Drummond light?
Yeah. I heard of it, yeah, but I can't remember exactly what it is, but I did hear it.
You're the only person I've ever met that heard about him, so well done. Well, Thomas Drummond, he was responsible for the Ordnance Survey here as well, and he was in charge of mapping. So he sent a man up onto a hill, very, very far away, and they lit lime to a very high degree. It gave off a brilliant light. And he used this for mapping. He could judge the distance. So he thought to himself, we could use this in lighthouses. And it is the light that lit lighthouses for a long, long time. And if you're interested in the man and you're in a tour around Dublin, I definitely encourage you to go to the Rotunda in City Hall. It's free. You can just go in up the steps. And just to show you how important this man was, there's some statues of really important people in Irish history. On the right-hand side, we have Daniel O'Connell. And on the left-hand side, you have Thomas Drummond. And nobody knows who he is. But if you look very closely at his boot, if you have a feel on the statue down along his right leg, on his boot, there's a little lighthouse, so a little nod to the Drummond light. But the funny thing is, he actually worked himself to debt. And it's written on his death cert. Died of overwork. Yeah, and he's buried over there in Mount Jerome Cemetery. And I haven't got to go yet, but it is on my list of things to do. So it's nice that he's remembered here. So on that note, we'll head into the next room. And again, this is another original room to the house. So again, you can feel the closeness and the coziness of it. And I'll definitely encourage you to have a feel of the walls in this room. They're silk walls. And this would have been common at the time because dry heat these houses was nearly impossible. So behind the silk, they're stuffed with wool. So these would have kept in bitter heat into the rooms. So this is called a French drawing room. And I'll start with the ceiling. It's heavily gilded again. And another original ceiling to the house. This chandelier came from Dublin Castle. It was one of a pair. And it was commissioned for the Act of Union of 1801. And if you have a look, there's a garland at the bottom and it has certain plants in the garland. You might know the country that it represents. The shamrock, the rose, the thistle. And a couple of months ago, a man leaned over to me gently as I walked into the next room and he says, how come there's no leak there for Wales? Unfortunately, Wales was a principality at the time, so it's not included here. Now, on my right to your left, there's fantastic large marine painting, and it's of ships from the 1600s, so 17th century ships. So they're wooden ships with sails and flags. Now underneath the painting, again, there's very ornate couches and chairs, and the couch underneath the painting, the ones opposite, were actually gifted to the state by Charles de Gaulle during Eamon de Valera's term here in the 1960s. And the couch at the back wall underneath the painting is original from the Palace of Versailles, and the ones out here are actually replicas of other furniture from there. Now, in the middle of this seating area, we have a Connemara marble table. It's dark green. And this was commissioned for Bill Clinton's visa here. And he chose to leave it when he left. Now, on my left, so to your right, we have another fabulous painting. It's a large painting of a lady sitting on a chair. And the colours are deep purple and red and gold. It's Lady Lavery. This was actually painted by her husband, Sir John Lavery. And she was the face on the Irish pound note.
She looks younger in that.
She looks beautiful in that, exactly. Well, I'm going to let you in with a little secret. I've done a bit of research on this painting. And there was actually three sitters for that painting. And when Lady Lavery's head was later added, she was actually a bit larger than that. So photoshopping was going on back then as well. So it's called The Red Rose, and she's absolutely stunning in that painting. And funny, there's a wooden sculpture underneath. It's a wood turning, actually. And it's like egg-shaped, so it's oval. And the symbolism in that is it was carved from the walnut tree that fell on the site at the Battle of the Boyne. So one lives here in Áras an Uachtaráin, and the other was gifted to Ian Paisley. So we're going to have a little look in the President's study now. So if you'd like to follow me. Okay, so here we are now in the President's study, or the President's office. And again, this is another original room to the house, so it's much cosier, much smaller. Again, I'll start with the ceiling. And it is reported to be the loveliest stucco in Ireland, pure poetry and plaster. It depicts Jupiter presiding over the seasons. So to my right and your left, we have a large desk in L shape. So this would be where the President writes his speeches or answers letters and things like that, because it is a working office. And they're full of gifts that the President has received. And he always likes to leave out the gifts that people are giving to the state. There's two little caricatures of the President and his wife. And I believe that they were done by a blind school. And it's just amazing that they got the images so perfect. I think they're absolutely beautiful. And then we have some pictures of the President and his wife meeting the Queen and her husband. And then we have libraries to your left and to the back of me. And underneath your feet, we have a fantastic woolen carpet. And this was actually brought to the house during Mary McAleese's term here. It's burgundy or winey in colour with cream and flowers. And to my left, so to your right, there's a painting over the fireplace. And it's a very dark painting of a man on a chair. And he's looking very solemn. Is that how you would describe him? This is actually Dr. Noel Brown.
Oh,
and you may have heard of him before, yeah?
Oh, Lord,
yeah? And he did an awful lot for women in this country, women and children, actually, yeah. And people suffering with TB. And he's taking off the glove there, and I believe this is a symbol for he's throwing down the gauntlet to the Catholic Church. And this painting was actually purchased by our President. On this side, of when we're heading out, there's actually some old photographs of the President's family, and there's one there of two little boys looking of very similar age, height, shape, dressed very similar. And this is the President and his brother when they were making their Holy Communion. So it's just a very, very nice touch. So on that note, we're going to head out into the hallway. Okay, so here we are in the entrance hall. This is a barrel vaulted coffered ceiling. And to my right, to your left, we have this fantastic painting. Now, it is untitled, but a lot of people call it the Big Bang or the New Beginnings. Very modern art. The date down on the right-hand side is?
The 11th of the 11th, 2011.
Exactly, and it was for the President's inauguration.
Oh.
And it was painted by a Chinese lady. And a few months ago, we had some Chinese visitors to the house, and they could clearly see the symbolism in the painting. As symbols of good luck, good fortune, prosperity. And does anybody know how us humble people get to come into this fantastic house? I'll tell you the reason. During the Good Friday Agreement, there was a reception here, and there were some dignitaries down from the north of Ireland, and one being Mo Molan. And it was during Mary McAleese's term here as President. And after dinner, they were having a conversation, and Mo Molan said to Mary McAleese, God, the people must really love the house and gardens. They're absolutely beautiful. And our president, Mary McAleese, said they would if they seen it. So it was from that day she put in place that this house was open to us all, good people of Ireland. So that brings an end to the tour. I hope you've enjoyed it. So we'll make our way out.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Well, wasn't that a great tour? Let's hear what our colleagues from the NCBI have to say.
Well, I can't see at all now, so I can't see light or anything. And the descriptions were excellent, I have to say. In one way, it was a very, very visual tour, because even though we were described like the chandeliers on the ceiling, you really had no idea what they looked like. You had no idea of the depth of them, the width of them, how much light actually emanates from them. And I think only that I'm interested in history, I think for me, I wouldn't have gained a lot, but I love history and I love old houses. But one thing I was really interested in was when you said about large windows. And nobody mentioned curtains, blinds, nets, anything. So I went to investigate and the curtains were magnificent. And I examined them and there was lining and there was braiding and they were held back. And the weight of them and the texture, they were absolutely gorgeous. So you do miss out quite a lot. The other thing is the pattern on carpets and things. Okay, we did get described some of them, but because you can't see anything at all, you do miss out quite a lot. You didn't get a sense of where the furniture was in the room, or like she said, there was lovely couches and chairs, and so you didn't get a sense of place. Now, I'm just saying that from a person that actually can't see at all. I loved the tour and I found it very interesting.
At one moment, the tour guide asked to describe the room. What did you think about that? Because your description of the room was quite accurate.
Well, I could sense the difference that we had come from a sort of a lighter, airier area into an area felt more solid. I mean, there was a definite difference. There was a sort of a nearness or a cosier sensation in that room, yeah. And they were the original rooms and they were smaller. And I suppose because the walls were packed with wool behind the silk wallpaper, all of that, I think, helped to make that room sort of more enclosed.
Some of the things I would have liked to know a little bit more about, but because it's a tour and there's only a certain amount of time, the main things were she picked them out and she described them very well, and especially the pictures and about the presidents. All that information was very, very good. It's time. You need more time, really and truly.
Yeah, I would have liked to have known about the gifts that were given to the president. No, I know they were on the table, but I couldn't really see what they were. And I don't think we were allowed to touch them. But if we had been told more and in what circumstances they were given to Ireland.
And there was a lovely harp as well in a glass case in the hall, and we didn't hear about that either.
Little leaflets not have helped there a little bit. Okay, we don't necessarily see them, but perhaps people could scan them or they could be read to you afterwards, because it's like that and everything else. When you suddenly see something of beauty or hear a poem, the first reading, you have to have it read a couple of times to appreciate things.
Yeah,
that would be my view.
We hope our listeners have enjoyed the visit to Ars Ognutron as much as we did. We enjoyed the Phoenix Park so much that we're coming back next week, this time to Farmley House. Remember to tune in.
This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.